You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
The words courage and determination, for me, have a little bit more of a stability to it when I'm not believing in myself, which it's tough to believe in yourself at all times when you're doing this thing. I know that I can always be determined. I know that I can always say, I want to be a working actor and ask myself, Tyrone, are you determined to do it? And then it's like, yes, because that's a yes or no question. Are you determined? Yes or no? And I know that I will always choose yes. You know, do you have the courage to do it? Yes. You know, whereas, you know, can you be fearless? I don't know if you can be fearless. I certainly have lots of fears. You know what I mean?
Hey, what's going on? Welcome to Built for the Stage podcast. This is Joe Roscoe, founder and host of Built for the Stage, Broadway's number one fitness platform. If you want to try a free trial, go to the website builtforthestage.com and we can get you started with a 1 week trial with your own Broadway fitness coach. Special thanks to BPN, Broadway Podcast Network. You can check them out at bpn.fm. Okay, let's get that over with. Let's get on to our special guest. Special guest, as always, had the pleasure of seeing him in Waitress the Musical just about maybe a month or so ago. I was obsessed, like literally. The second he was on stage, opened his mouth, I was like, this is it. So no blowing smoke either. No blowing smoke. Welcome. Please get familiar with Tyrone Davis Jr. Welcome to the pod.
Thank you so much, Joe. It's so awesome to be on this podcast. Thank you so much.
this podcast, the world we live in. Everyone have a podcast
everyone
now?
Everyone has a podcast, but you know what? Yours is the best, and that's really all that matters right now.
Now, see, I was genuine in saying that I thoroughly loved your performance. Have you listened to all 140 blah blah
to every
episodes?
Single one.
I knew it. I knew I really liked you. Well, to toot my own horn, I think I started this in 2018 before it was like really cool to do a podcast. I mean, I know that wasn't groundbreaking. They were already happening, but I think I kind of broke the mold. I was before a lot of these other theater podcasts, I think. But anyways, everyone that's listening, Tyrone played Ogie in Waitress, and he seems like a cool guy, but on stage, he just pulled off this like quirky awkwardness that just made you laugh like a crazy person while watching him. Growing up, were you always kind of silly or did you kind of acquire that comedic sense later in life?
I was always silly. Always like trying to make people laugh. Always just the goofiest. But like Ogie, I like really strive to like get people to like me. So I was annoying as hell, but people always really enjoyed it. Which is a nice thing, you know.
Yes, so true. Like you're rooting for him so hard up there. You're like number one fan for Ogie to pull through. who do you think influenced like your comedic desire? Any like family members or anything you watched on TV maybe?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't even know the answer to that. I have a very funny family. My dad is someone who is always like cracking a joke, always trying to make the bank teller laugh, which was so embarrassing as a kid. That, you know, that kind of dad. My mom is, you know, she's funny just inherently. She just says like funny, ridiculous things. They're from the Bahamas, and sort of the tension of, you know, being an immigrant and living in America is often, you know, prime for lots of humor. And so, I grew up around humorous people, and I was always like, I was like a TV kid. I was watching all kinds of like All That. Dude, do you remember All That? Were you around for All That on Nickelodeon?
Of course.
There you go. I mean, that I was raised on that, you know, all that good stuff.
Were you like All That, Full House, Fresh Prince, Growing Pains, like all that
Family
stuff.
Matters, Step by Step.
Family Matters, Step. Yeah. Oh my God. I gotta like get on YouTube and do like a 90s TV sitcom binge watch or something. Wait, so your dad, was he like epic for dad jokes? Is that what you're saying? He always had those dad jokes?
Yeah, always dad jokes. Always just like, just doing the most. That's so embarrassing.
I saw a good dad joke video online, and it was a dad at an event. Maybe it was a sports game, I'm not sure. And there were staff on the field with these shirts that said press on the back, you know, for the media. So this guy walked down the bleachers and started like poking into this person's back, aka pressing their back. And yeah, that was the dad joke right there. So where are you originally from?
I was born and raised in Miami.
I'm in Miami now.
You're in Miami? What are you doing in Miami?
So during the pandemic, I got another spot to retreat to. I'm in downtown Miami near Biscayne Boulevard, like where Bayside Park
that
is.
That was my stomping ground. I went to high school and college in downtown Miami. I know exactly where you are.
No way. I'm looking out my window right now at the New World School of the Arts, Miami-Dade
College.
That's
literally my school. I spent 8 years. I spent 8 years in that building. Wild.
Oh my goodness. I'll have to send you a video just to you could relive your glory days of the build. Yeah, it's always lit so beautifully at night.
We lit. Yeah. We lit in Miami. We lit at New World.
Wow. What a small. All right, so you grew up in Miami. How was that growing up? Was it easy to be involved in the arts in Miami?
So easy. I mean, Miami is like a, you know, it's a cultural city. There's like so much going on. We have, you know, we have the symphony, we have opera, we have theater, lots of theater, you know, all types of things. And my parents, for whatever reason, really sort of made sure I was like an artsy kid. They're not artsy people. Well, my dad is like a drummer. He had like a gospel band as, you know, as a teenager and with his brothers and things like that. But my mom, she says she used to be a dancer, but I feel like all moms say that, to be honest.
Right.
As a teenager. But, you know, maybe. Mm-hmm, anyway, mm-hmm. For whatever reason, they made sure that art was accessible to me. They put me in piano lessons. Any little inkling or like desire that I had to perform, they made sure that happened. They, you know, filled out all the forms and took me to all the interviews to go to, you know, performing arts schools and things down there. And so I really, really lucked out with my parents, and they never really gave me any sort of trouble around pursuing this dream, moving to New York. And I have a brother who's also, you know, he's a musician, and he's doing the same thing down in Miami. And so we both lucked out with our parents. Yeah. And being in Miami. Yeah.
When did the liking or passion for the arts or being an actor become a dream? Like, when did it become more serious where you're like, this is what I want to do?
You know, I very young, I was a TV kid and I wanted to be on TV. Like, I wanted to be on Nickelodeon. That was why I was living. That is why I ate food. That is, you know, that was it for me. That never happened, sadly. Who knows? There's time to get on Nickelodeon. But no, I always knew that there was that I wanted to perform or be around silly people. I don't know, but arts always felt like an opportunity to be like silly and it be celebrated. And so I wanted to be around those people.
I always, was it called Legends of the Hidden Temple? Was that the show? I always wanted to be on that show. Yeah. Always.
Great show. Great show. You have to be like smart right, to be so on that show though, don't you? Isn't it all like trivia? I'm not saying that you're not smart. That's not what I was implying at all. I was just,
you know, you were, but I understand. You first,
no, I would, I
you
don't
know,
think
said
I
that
could be on that
you,
show is why I thought of
I don't think that it was. Maybe they had some elements of questions, but wasn't it very like obstacle course oriented?
You're right. It was all like history. It was history based.
I think.
But it was all okay. Like You're right.
They had another one where you got slimed, and I feel like that had some questions. Maybe.
Yeah. Guts.
Do you remember that one?
Or dare?
Yeah. You're a lot better at me than this remembering it. Everyone that's listening, you didn't know you were coming to hear about Nickelodeon.
'90s festival right here.
There's no better time. There's no better time. All right. So you go to school in Miami. You move to New York. What was that transition like? And did you kind of just start booking like crazy, or did you have some ups and downs? Tell us a little bit about your journey before you found your way to Waitress and making your debut.
Yeah, it was a long one, but a wonderful one. And that doesn't mean it was all ups, absolutely. But I don't know. I had such a great time, and I continue to still have a great time as I pursue the dream. But I went to school. I graduated from New Orleans School of the Arts. I taught at a performing arts camp for 3 months that summer. Raised I want to say like $3,000 or something. It couldn't have been that much. Maybe. Anyway, I raised some money to move to New York that very summer. And that's what I did. I came to New York, found some sublet in Astoria with like two Italian gals, like legit from Italy, like not like, you know, Italian American. They were like from Italy. So, and I was like living.
There we go. That was, you must have made a lot of memories right there.
Well, I didn't because I ended up booking a show, I think like 2 or 3 weeks after moving in. And so I was like out of there quite quickly.
You didn't, no good Italian dinners, you know, family dinners that you got to experience?
They were not interested in cooking for me. And good for that. Why?
Okay, so 2 to 3 weeks in Astoria, and then you book. What
I
do you book?
A play called Pure Confidence, all about a horse jockey, out on Martha's Vineyard, at the Vineyard Playhouse. Okay. And so that was my first gig out there. Did that, had a wonderful time out in Martha's Vineyard. If you have not been to Martha's Vineyard, I highly suggest it. It's a magical, wonderful place. Have you been there?
I have not.
Oh, gotta go. You gotta go.
All right. Added to the list.
So then I came back to New York and just kind of like hit the ground running. I was just sort of like audition. This is the time when you couldn't like sign up online to go to like auditions at the Equity Building. Uh-huh. So I was like at the Equity Building every day, like, you know, no matter what the weather was.
Standing on the sidewalk,
waiting for them to open the building, doing the whole wait in line thing, you know. So I was doing that. And, you know, I was like young and, you know, big eyed. And so none of it felt like bad to me. I was just so excited to be like, yeah, I'm doing the New York thing. And I was just hustling, just going to every audition and eventually booking more and more and more. And, you know, in between gigs, I was babysitting and catering, lots of catering. I was like an assistant to a fashion designer at one point. I was teaching mommy.
At this time, you had no representation, so you were just kind of flying solo?
I was flying solo. Cool. I had no representation at this time.
Tell us about, before we get to the closing, like of you getting the Broadway show, tell us this being, you know, having fitness influence, I like to kind of parallel the ups and downs. Were there any like down moments you can remember where it kind of was like maybe a pivotal point in your journey that it could have went one way or the other, but it ended up, you know, turning out for the best in the future? Does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think that there's so many of those when you pursue a creative dream or any kind of dream, to be honest with you. I'm sure you've had that, you know, building this empire that you have. You know, it's tough. It really is a...
Come on.
it really is a test of all of it, mental, physical, spiritual, emotional. And so I had many of those. And it's funny, I had a major one right before booking Waitress. So I had come to a point, and I had been like working somewhat consistently. It wasn't like I, you know, was out of work for like years and years and years and like that. But I don't know. I've always had, it's funny, as much as I love theater and love like creative arts, I always kind of have like one foot in, one foot out. And so my one foot in, I was like leaning on that foot a little bit more during this time. But I had decided that I wanted to become a therapist and a social worker. So I had applied for two schools. I applied to NYU social work school. I applied to CUNY or Hunter College for the social work school. I ended up like getting in. I ended up like, you know, paying the down payment to like take the classes and taking out loans and things like that. And the week that I was supposed to start school, I book Waitress, which is just how the world, that's just what happens, right? You know?
Yeah. Amazing. All right. So how was that turn of events? So you're getting the acceptance letters, you're taking out the loans. In the midst of that, were you in the audition callback process for Waitress, or did you already had done that a while ago and they called you out of nowhere? How did that
yeah happen? No, Waitress happened fairly quickly, relatively speaking. I mean I had been applying for the schools and things like that, but I think maybe I went into Waitress maybe, you know, like one week and, you know, I don't know, like in the end of April or something. Sorry, I don't know the dates, so let me not give dates. But I think
the whole
process of booking Waitress, I think maybe happened like over like 3 weeks with only like two, you know, I went to an initial audition, then I went to like a dance call, and then I had the final one with like the whole team. So it wasn't this like long process, thankfully, that can sometimes happen. It was kind of like a quick thing. And so when I ended up booking, it was a bit of like a surprise, you know. I was just like, oh, I have to make a decision. This is real, you know. Do I do this show? Do I make my Broadway debut, or do I follow this path of becoming a social worker? Which at the time, you know, I was like drawn to the idea of like stability, and also the idea of, you know, being engaged with community and with people in a deep on the ground way. Theater is also the same thing. You know, I think I was like chasing actually the same thing, just in two different spaces. But for whatever reason, I was like, you know, I'm going to become a therapist. I'm going to become a social worker. And I don't know, the gods, the universe, whoever had like a different plan and sort of said, no, you're going to come this way. That doesn't mean that I did not try to do both at the same time. The first like couple of weeks that I started Waitress, I was like, maybe I can do this. Maybe I can, like, you know, I can take my classes during the day and then come do the show at night. And I was talking to Drew Gehling, who was, you know, our original Dr. Pometer. And I was like telling him about this, and he was like, you know, you should talk to do you know Bobby Steggert? Bobby Steggert is an actor, and he is now a social worker therapist. And so I ended up reaching out to him kind of blindly. And I was like, hey, you don't know me, but I saw you in Ragtime and you were incredible. And I just booked this Broadway show, and I'm, you know, I kind of want to do what you've been doing. And, you know, I think it'd be so great to be, you know, a social worker and have some stability. And he was like, very sweet. He was like, make your Broadway debut. Like, that's a thing that doesn't happen often. You know, these other things can, they'll always be here, but you should yeah. take this special opportunity. And so it was with the blessing of Bobby Steggert that I, you know, gave that up.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on Essie Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
Yeah, the stability thing is such a big hurdle or just complication when it comes to chasing dreams like this, because you know, one day you're in and the next day you're out and you're trying to figure out how to get in again, you know? Right. I think you're a perfect person to talk to in this, with like studying the mind and how humans interact or just function individually. How have you mentally kind of navigated through that path of not having that stable ground always to stand on? I think a lot of people could benefit from this because we're all going through it.
Yeah. That's like a tough and also an easy question to answer, because when it's tough, it's tough. It's like, how is this going to play out? You know, how will I continue to go on these auditions and not get called back? Or how am I going to continue worrying about how I'm going to pay, you know, next month's rent or, you know, all that stuff. And so, but somehow, you know, I still move forward. Honestly, I think I've had such great models in my life. I think my parents are a huge inspiration to me. Again, they have not pursued any type of artistic dream, but they are immigrants. You know, I'm first generation, and, you know, whenever I kind of feel tough, you know, like things are too tough, just remembering the fact that, but they actually like moved here from a different country and like started a whole new life, and they don't have, you know, high school degrees. They don't have the college degrees, and somehow they, you know, raised two children and, you know, who are now pursuing their dreams. And so that I find that to be very inspiring. And I think about them a lot when things get tough. And then also, I don't know, it's just a good question, because the words, I find more than ever, for whatever reason, in this point of where I am on my journey, the words courage and determination are really sticking with me and resonating with me these days. You know, you hear, as an artist, you hear a lot about like, all you have to do is believe in yourself and be fearless, which is all great. And those are great things to lean on. But I find those things to be fleeting, especially when you're sort of in some kind of mental turmoil around stability or finances or, you know, or whatever it may be. The words courage and determination for me have a little bit more of a stability to it when I'm not believing in myself, which it's tough to believe in yourself at all times when you're doing this thing. I know that I can always be determined. I know that I can always say, I want to be a working actor, and ask myself, Tyrone, are you determined to do it? And then it's like, yes, because that's a yes or no question. Are you determined? Yes or no? And I know that I will always choose yes. You know, do you have the courage to do it? Yes. You know, whereas, you know, can you be fearless? I don't know if you can be fearless. I certainly have lots of fears. You know what I mean? Do I believe in myself?
No, none of us
can. I do believe in myself, but sometimes it's a bit tougher to believe in myself, but I can always say yes to courage and determination. So yeah, that's the answer to that question for me.
Yeah, performers, you have to be resilient. Yeah. You have to just keep going against the grain. I like what you said just about kind of leaning on your past experiences, where it's, you know, you've been through hardships in the past, but here you are. So you just have to keep reminding yourself that as the new hardships come. Yes, you will. This too shall pass, as they say. And I think your parents also are a great example to lean on. I, you know, living in Queens and now living in Miami, I have plenty of immigrant friends, and that journey is a very steep hill to climb and one that takes a lot of courage. And I think it puts into perspective when you're chasing this artistic dream that it can be done, but you have to make the decision. Like you're saying, is it worth it? And for some of you listening, maybe it's not, and that's okay. And you move on and do something else. And for those that say it is, then you just keep climbing. All right. So you're in your Broadway debut, the show. Were you a part of the cast when the show closed during the pandemic, when it was on a hiatus?
I was. Yeah. So I joined in 2017. I was only supposed to be there for 5 weeks as an ensemble member, as a replacement. But I ended up, you know, getting the opportunity to be a permanent ensemble member, Ogie, understudy. So I was with the show until 2020. I was asked to rejoin when we started back up in September, which was such a thrill, sort of being sort of on the front lines, you know, of reopening Broadway.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, I think I'll have more thoughts about that as time goes on, because we're still in the thick of it. But it certainly felt like a huge honor. I don't know if you saw that video, but Waitress was like the first musical to open back up on Broadway. And so on our opening night, or that first night, you know, Sarah steps out on stage and there's this monumental uproar, you know, this moment of celebration from the audience. And I will never forget that. And so I feel so lucky to have been a part of such like an interesting, weird, historic time in the theater, and really in the world.
I get goosebumps hearing you talk about it. All of the shows, those first nights that they came back, and how long that curtain applause was when, you know, the curtain would rise, was just crazy. I got to see Hadestown. It was very, very close to when all of the shows started to open, and they start the show and they say, and they just stand there for a bit and the audience says it back. And then they all just started roaring with applause, and it seemed to have lasted for, I don't know, 3 minutes, not even exaggerating, just kept going and going and going. now that the show has closed, Here we are again. On the theme of the ins and outs, and what, you know, I hate, we as actors, we hate the, so what's next for you, or the whatever, blah, blah, blah. But for, I'm not trying to go at it with that angle, but once again, for the inspiration of a fitness podcast or a life podcast, where we're trying to give others that, bit of wisdom, bit of encouragement. How have you been approaching? Because you knew that the show was going to close anyways. You guys closed a little earlier, correct, than you were supposed to. But it was going to, it was set to close. You know, not to say what's next, but what's next? But more so, how mentally have you been approaching that?
Approaching having this downtime right now?
The downtime, the transitioning, how have you coped? How have you mourned? How have you celebrated? Mm-hmm. Cause I just, this topic, it's going on for a lot of people right now, in our, Bill for the Stage family. And I, you know, I'm trying to encourage them obviously as their fitness coach, but they do come to me a lot for personal things as well. And, I just would love to hear your experience, and maybe I could even draw, I know I probably will be able to draw something from it.
No, absolutely. Yeah. You know, I still feel like in the thick of it. So, So, you know, it'll take some effort to articulate, but closing a show, and it's funny, this is the third time it's happened to me over the course of 2 years, but, you know, closing a show abruptly like that is not a fun thing. You know, it's like being broken up with no forewarning, no conversation or anything like that. It's just sort of gets.
I like that. That for someone on the outside, I can be like, oh, I can relate. Okay, I know how that could feel.
You didn't see it coming, but here we are.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. But yeah, you just don't get, I mean, part of closure, part of processing a whole creative experience is having that final show, is hugging your cast members goodbye, is knowing that, you know, this is the last time I'm going to sing this lyric or do this bit of choreography or have this little backstage moment with the dresser that I always have here. And so, you know, not getting an opportunity to do that, which so many of us actors, you know, have had happen multiple times now. You know, it's a little jarring, and I think we're all sort of figuring out how do we process these experiences without getting this closure. I know for me, you know, when Waitress closed this past time, I was doing double duty. I was doing a workshop a workshop of The Devil Wears Prada. So I was doing double duty days, like 12, 14 hour days for 3 weeks, no day off. And so when we closed, I kind of just sort of like collapsed, sort of like in the best way. You know, my body and my mind just needed to like do nothing. And so that's exactly what I did. I stayed in my apartment. I got COVID, which sucked, but it also helped me also do nothing. But now I'm like at a moment this like past week or so where I have some energy. I've like structured my days. It's honestly like, it's my like anxiety a little bit. Like I get, you know, when I'm not working, the way that my anxiety plays out is to like give myself tasks, which is great. You know, I'm like a doer. So I like having things to do. So I'll like get up and I'll journal, I'll meditate, I'll go to the gym, I'll come back, I will, you know, cook, or I'll like work on a project that I've been working on. And so just to have that structure and that, you know, those things to do make me feel of use, you know, purposeful. It's the way that I survive. And, you know, I think that we should be welcoming the various ways in which people are surviving moments like this. And so, but right now, like it's good to have some downtime. I'm looking forward to my next project, which starts in at the end of May. Just coasting and chilling until then, seeing a crap ton of theater, which I don't get to see when I'm working. Yeah. So that's been good. Watching a lot of TV. It's all good.
Nice. All right. So structure. Yeah. I'm big on that. When I'm feeling most lost, I might even do it down to the hour, like on my Google calendar, just to make me feel. Yeah. It's my putting myself in school. You know, you go to school and it's like, okay, period one is 8:30 to 9:20 and, you know, yada, yada, yada.
That's, I do the same thing. Yes.
Yeah. Cause at the end of the day, you don't have to wait for a job or someone else to tell you when and where you got to do something, you know, like there's no reason you can't put that on your own shoulders and you take it, ownership of how your day is going to go. So everyone listening, like if you feel like you're just chasing your tail, put it on paper and make a plan for the day or the week and start chasing it. And I bet you good things will happen. I know that for the fitness world, that definitely is the case. So, keep showing up. Tyrone, that's it for today. I've taken up plenty of your time. I'm super grateful that you chatted with me. You're so cool and you're such a nice person, but your performance on stage was just captivating. And now that you're off the stage, you're still that cool and captivating performer. So everyone that's not in their show right now, you still are who you are. So until your next gig or whatever, just keep pressing on. And appreciate you, Tyrone. Keep that schedule going. Hang tight. Going to send you some thank you swag because, yeah, I just really appreciate your time. All right, everyone, that was Tyrone Davis Jr. Make sure you follow him on the gram. We're going to have all the info on the description of this episode for you to take a click.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but yeah. Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.